The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Something else that was mentioned today was our Minister of Health, Simon Harris. He confirmed that there's a working group to be established to examine removing the cost barriers to accessing contraception. We're joined by Priscilla Lynch from the Medical Independent, Dr. Andy Jordan from the National Association of General Practitioners, and Anne-Marie Horn from the Irish Pharmacies Union to discuss what this working group hopes to achieve and if contraception should be freely available. I'm going to start, though, with Anne-Marie Horan from the Irish Pharmacies Union. Anne-Marie, is it a case that cost is why people don't use contraception?
Well, I suppose there's lots of reasons. Cost would be one of them. I suppose accessibility is another. Availability. Once emergency contraception was brought into pharmacies as well, there was an increase in the amount of people using it. So we really want to reduce the amount of abortions that are needed. So it is a good idea that we can increase the availability of contraception.
Dr. Andy Jordan, who's chairman of the National Association of General Practitioners, is that idea that better availability of contraception is a key to keeping the number of abortions down? Is that even the point? Is it the idea not that it should just be freely available to begin with?
Well, I think that what Anne-Marie just said to you is true, that the more available that contraception is, the less likely you are to have an unwanted pregnancy. Now, if you remember back to the citizens, when they were going through the process in the lead-up to the termination of pregnancy, this was a major part of what was to be delivered, and we wanted that the women of Ireland get a holistic and comprehensive women's health service, which would include contraception. And we were very disappointed when the termination of pregnancy was introduced without this piece being attached on. Because if you remember back when abortion services were introduced in the UK, it actually turned out that abortion itself was being used as a method of contraception. So this is something we just certainly do not want to see happen here.
Yeah, it's something that I always heard people on the pro-choice side of the argument vehemently deny, is that abortion is not a form of contraception. It absolutely wasn't the case. Can you tell me, in all of your years, how many times someone came in and said, I'm pregnant because I couldn't afford contraception? Is it something that ever happened?
Well, I have to be honest, I never heard that said, but that's not to say that that doesn't happen. There's many, many reasons why women become pregnant, and I think that, you know, cost has to be a factor, but it's only one factor. And I think that in our approach to women's health, I think that, you know, both GPs and pharmacists are both uniquely placed to try and, I suppose, step into the space here and try and prevent unwanted pregnancies. I mean, we're both interacting with patients. We both meet them, both in our surgeries and in the pharmacy. So it's an opportunity to cut in on that axis and, in a way, try and do something about it. The type of contraceptive is obviously very important. If you have people with medical, psychological, social issues where maybe taking a pill is not appropriate, we have these long-acting reversible contraceptives which are far more appropriate and safer for those type of individuals where either forgetting or because of, you know, various things that happen, they forget to take the pill.
I'm going to bring in Priscilla Lynch, who's the clinical editor of the Medical Independent. Priscilla, we're hearing a lot about things like the pill, things like, you know, long-term solutions for women. There's two things I want to talk about that I'd like you to discuss. First of all, why do we put the onus on women to be the ones who are looking after contraception all the time? And secondly, why aren't we having a conversation about sexually transmitted diseases? Because the pill obviously doesn't fix any of those.
Well, that's very true, actually. And I suppose it would be pointed out that women are the ones who would be more directly affected by an unwanted pregnancy physically if it were to happen. But that is very true. And I know there have been calls to make sure that men are included also in increasing access to free and reliable contraception, which would include condoms for men and vasectomies as well, and forthcoming technologies and medications that would be suitable for men. So I suppose from the two speakers we've heard from there, they've confirmed that it's cost and ease of access are known as key barriers to effective contraception. So it's not just about having it free, but that people can access it easily. And also, if you look at the type of contraception that people use as well, people who are more likely perhaps to experience a crisis pregnancy, would it be that they would be using cheaper forms of contraception, such as such as condoms, such as the pill, when they could perhaps use something that would be more reliable, like long-acting reversible contraception, but there's a cost barrier to that, because in Ireland, currently, only those who have a full medical card will have the cost of those services fully covered. So really, I think it's also about extending choice to women and to men as well about the different types of contraception that are out there. Some are more reliable than others. And the working group is going to be looking at considerations such as where should contraception be delivered, where should free condoms be given to. The HSE is extending plans already on giving free condoms into sexual health clinics for those most at risk, actually, of sexually transmitted diseases. So it's hoped that this group would be cognizant of that issue as well, because actually the statistics for sexually transmitted diseases have been very high in Ireland in recent years, particularly in relation to chlamydia and gonorrhea. So I think it's they need to have a holistic approach at contraception, not just for pregnancy, but for also sexually transmitted diseases, as you've pointed out there.
Anne-Marie Horn, what would you say to that? Do you think that that's the answer, that we should go more the approach of contraception with the ability to prevent sexually transmitted diseases, or things like the coil or implants, which are far more expensive?
Well, nearly half of women surveyed would prefer that they get their contraception from a pharmacy, and most of those would like to go on the pill. Like, most women do take the pill, and women are already accessing online doctors where they're just, you know, getting the prescriptions over the web, and the doctor isn't even, you know, taking their blood pressure or their BMI. That is being done in the pharmacy later. So, you know, women want additional choice, and that's what this is about.
If something is going to cost €15 though a month, say, and we get that price down, say, to a fiver or whatever it is, it's still going to be a case that you've got to go to the chemist, you've got to get money to pay for it. Would we not be better off making something like a coil which doesn't, say, for instance, change your hormone levels in any way, wider used and more accessible? In particular, when we look at what Dr. Andy Jordan said about people who might not be able to take a pill, or who can't rely on themselves, or who have other issues around that.
Well, I mean, contraceptions like the coil have been around a long time, and the majority of women don't use them, and you know that is their choice. So,
can I just ask why it's not used? Is it just because it's a pretty much a one-off thing, isn't it? Or, I mean, it's
I think
far more long-lasting.
Their idea of it is maybe it's slightly more invasive than taking a tablet.
Okay. Dr. Andy Jordan, what do you think? If we had a way to bring out widespread use of the coil, do you think that would be a better choice than pills?
I think that, you know, there's different. I think that there are different things that suit different women at different times in their lives. Obviously, you know, Anne-Marie's point there is well made, in terms of there's a lot of younger women, youngish girls, do like to be on the pill, and it certainly suits them to be on the pill. Then there are some younger women where it is definitely true that the long-acting reversible contraceptives are better and safer and more reliable for the situation that they find themselves in. Then as women get somewhat older, then you get into this territory where the coils are better for a whole load of different reasons. Apart from the contraceptive element, they have medical indications as well, in terms of where women are bleeding, you know, have heavy vaginal bleeding, etc., etc., etc. So it's not as simple one size fits all. Look, at the whole thing here is that the minister has decided to set up this group, working group, and I suppose from my point of view, and I'm sure Anne-Marie's point of view there, that we'd like to be part of it, and we'd like to be part of the conversation, and we'd like to have an input, so that whatever is brought in, that is something that is really meaningful and is really, you know, represents real reform. But the problem we have in our health service is that our systems are not joined up. So for things to work properly here and for things to be integrated, we can't do anything until we have an integrated service where the IT is connected, where Anne-Marie's pharmacy can, with the permission of the patient, log in to that patient's medical record. And we are so far off this. Like, I mean, our system is broken. It's on its knees. We need real reform in primary care. That's in GP land, pharmacy land, and frontline HSE services in the community.
Okay, well, thanks for that. It seems that even if we did get free contraception, getting it to the people that need it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. That was Dr. Andy Jordan that you were listening to there, from the National Association of General Practitioners. I'd also like to thank our two other guests, Priscilla Lynch, the clinical editor of The Medical Independent, and Anne-Marie Horan from the Irish Pharmacies Union.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.